I want to give God thanks and praise for my lovely wife that's visiting with us today, that has traveled with me today. Mary, would you just wave your hand? And it's Mary Williams. And Elder Duran and Ginger King is with us. He serves in our church and travels with me. God bless you. I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited about what God's doing. Anybody in here just excited about what the Lord is doing and the place he got you in? Man, if anybody ought to be excited today, is those who love the Lord. I mean, because think about it. Look what God went through to get you to where you are right now. Can I get some help up in here? Do you know God brought you from a long ways? And if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, that you wouldn't be here? We don't take it for granted. I don't know what it is, but sometimes people get a little bit further down the road in God and they forget where God brought them from. And they come into an environment and people need to hear your testimony, but you're too ashamed of it, so you back it off and don't really tell your. But what would happen if somebody really heard your real testimony? Who would get free if they just heard your real testimony? How God just brought you, you know, to a wealthy place. We're going to notice from the gospel this morning, Matthew chapter 3. And we're going to also notice maybe Luke 16 as well. These particular passages of scriptures will help us to be able to see some things that I believe that will just raise us up to New Zealand's in Christ Jesus. In the Gospel of Matthew, of course, I just love the Gospels because it is the Gospel that changed my life. Anybody like me that the Gospel changed your life? A few weeks ago, I was in Israel, and it's amazing how the Bible comes alive when you just walk to these places that certain things happen, and you're just so thankful. One of the things that really got me was when I walked down the Via Dolorosa, which is from the judgment hall to where Jesus died on the cross. It's amazing to me that I just was really amazed by the love that he had to have to continue with the journey. About halfway down the Via Dolorosa, there's a place that we stopped for a minute. And halfway there, there's a place that's in the wall. When most people go to Israel, they'll stop in Jerusalem. They'll stop because on the wall, there's a place where Jesus put his hand. He put his hand there because he was resting. Simon took the cross from him at that point and took it all the way up, but Jesus rested on the wall there. And I never forget putting my hand there, and I found, the love of God is amazing, that he loved me enough and saw me down through the auspices of time, and he kept going. Can you give God a praise for those who finish? You know, that some, I've known some folk that don't finish very much, but aren't you glad that Jesus finished the work? He didn't stop there. He saw you and I, and he went further. And I'm so glad that he did, aren't you? The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 3, we're going to begin reading at verse number 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. In Luke, the third chapter, the 15th verse, it says, as the people were in expectation, and all the people mused in their heart of John whether he were the Christ or not. Verse 16 of Luke's gospel. John answered and said unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he would thoroughly purge his floor and would gather the wheat into his garner, and but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Amen. I want you to look at a neighbor, get a neighbor by the hand, and look at your neighbor eyeball to eyeball. And say, neighbor, there's a need for the fire of God. Amen. Look on the other side of you and say, neighbor, in case you didn't know this, there's a need for the fire of God. Amen. There is a need. There is a need. Amen. Clap your hands. Give him a praise if you believe that. All around us now, change and changes have invaded our world. Our families, the dynamic of our family has changed. There has been a shift in the climate of our behavior in the last 50 years. For decades now, the world has gone into a spiral decline of spiritual decline and moral decline. We have witnessed it in our lives about every day. But the only thing about witnessing such a thing that has happened in our society is that when we have been exposed to these things, it can cause us to accept it as the norm. That it's normal for people's behavior to be as they are, seeming to be disconnected from one another, uncaring of one another. And we have become desensitized to this, our conscience. The Bible talks about that there will a time will come that our conscience would be sheared with an hot iron because we have been exposed to these things through so many different outlets. We see it in our world right up close. We see it as it's plastered across our media outlets and newspapers and magazines and movies and internet. We have all types of ways of getting information nowadays. And so with seeing all of these things, many people in America and around the world, I've found, have become desensitized to some of the atrocities that we see. And when I think about this, I'm not so much looking on the outside of the church as I am looking on the inside of the church. Because we sometimes expect the world to behave a certain way. But in the church, we would not expect that. But the problem has been is that some of the behaviors of the world have crept into the church. And so for this cause, we have become acceptance to a lot of the things that people are calling right. They've got it twisted. When you stand for right, they call it wrong. And when you stand for wrong, it's all right. And we have to realize that there is a godly standard. Can I get some help up in here today? In this particular nation in which we live in, a child born into a family from the age of 5 until graduating high school is exposed to a great deal of violence. Some of you may not realize this, but by the time a child graduates from a high school, they have been exposed through television, movies, and all other outlets. They have been exposed to more than 50,000 murders. We don't look at it as it being a big deal until we see the behavior of these things played out on the news when shootings take place in these public places. But they have not even realized that the fact that this particular thing, it doesn't seem to be anything out of the ordinary now because they've been seeing it on television and different things all along. We also see that a child is exposed to arguments and altercations. They're exposed to stealing and lying and cheating. And it's amazing that, you know, you don't have to teach a child how to lie anymore. It seems like they done took lying 101. But all of this exposure is because of the fact that they've been exposed to these things and they have been desensitized. It seems like now that parenting does not hold a very high place in the lives of people. It seems that people want to have children, but they don't have an interest in parenting those children. I'm just saying, you know, there's a need for the fire of God. And one of the reasons is because I find that some days there are parents that would rather be a friend of a child rather than being a parent to the child. I told my children, I have two children. They're all grown now. I have a daughter that's 34 and my son that's 32. He's been married 10 years, 11 years coming up. And my daughter, I told them early on when they were, you know, 7, 8 years old, I said, look, I'm not looking for friendship from you. I've been anointed to be your father, your daddy. I told my son, I said, now the stuff that work for your friends out there and they telling you about what they doing home, it don't work here. Because you come home to a man that don't play. So I'm not interested in being your friends. Amen. We have a whole lot of people we call friends. We got people, you know, they're the book of the faces now that people, you know, they spend a lot of time on. And they have a lot of friends on the book of the faces. Amen. I have a lot of friends. That's what you say. But have you ever noticed when you got in trouble, you didn't see some of those 5,000 folk that's supposed to be your friends? And I got to get down to the nitty gritty of because, you know, I have a lot of friends because, of course, you know, I do just preaching. I don't just do preaching. I'm a recording artist, so I do got a lot of music and stuff. And so I've been in a lot of different little places. So I have a lot of people of different generations that's hooked up to me. I had to finally make an announcement on my face to my Facebook friends. And I said, you know, I'm really confused here because those of you that's my friends, I thought this was Facebook. It's a Facebook. I thought it was Facebook, not hind part book. I don't want to see your hind part. Show me your face. Let me see the face because it is Facebook, right? And some of my younger friends, they said, Pastor, because I told them, I said, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a father and a grandfather, and I would appreciate seeing your face. Because if you don't show me your face, then you will cease to be my friend, because I will defriend you in a minute. So these are things that we have been exposed to. They are exposed to the things such as that, and we see that in our world today that things are esteemed as something that's right. They don't want the right. They would rather have the wrong. But we know that there's a difference being in the kingdom of God. God keeps us clear of things and keep our minds sober. Also, when you find that the children who are coming through school, they're exposed to drugs legally and illegally. There are many people today who are hooked on legal drugs. And we have the drug pushers that's just not wearing pants down to the waist and not wearing, you know, all these T-shirts. The biggest drugs pushers are the ones that wear the white coats. I can't get no help up in here. But we have accepted that because they've gone to a university. But they have these connections with these drug companies who pay them, give them payola, and they put you on medication that you really don't need. I can't get no help up in here. But when you got the Holy Ghost will show you and reveal some things that's not right. I can't get no help up in here. Why come every black man that go to a doctor got to come out with high blood pressure? Ah, you better get your own meter and check your own blood pressure. I can't get no help up in here. You have to realize that there are some things that the enemy would try to sell you over to. So in seeing these things, we see the spiritual and moral decline that is happening in our world and has crept into the churches. But Christians today, you know, have a standard. Many of you that's in here now, you've been loving God for a long time. You might be on your job and you're the only one in your office that's saved, but God's got you there as a light. So don't be talking about quitting nothing before the Lord transplants you somewhere else. Why you think that when somebody got to say, Lord, Lord, everywhere you go, I want to go where people are loving. No, he put you in there with all them devils so you can get the devil cast out of them. I can't get no help up in here. Because when you got the Holy Ghost in fire, you got something to work with. Amen. You can help some people when you have the Holy Ghost and you have fire on you. So here we see that this is a need for the fire of God. There's a need for the fire of God. We got to realize that the ethics in our world today has been reduced. Servitude has been reduced. People nowadays, it's hard to get people to serve now without you offering them something, you know. Even in the church, it's gotten that way. Well, I'll do it, but how much you going to pay me? What does it cost? And then you realize that some of the people that be talking about getting paid, they don't really know how to do the job anyway. They really just want the pay. Maybe that don't happen over here in Phoenix, but in North Carolina, folk are more interested in the pay than doing the job. But God wants somebody that will do the job. If you'll just work for him, he'll take care of all the rest of this stuff. Amen? We got to be faithful to work with him. Amen. So we see that there's a problem with ethics. Veracity has gone out because it's amazing to me that you got people that they won't tell the truth now. They had a problem with the truth. It's amazing to me that the people won't have truth. And I found this out even more when the social media, or Facebook, or what they call MySpace and Twitter and all that. It's amazing how people, and some of you single folk that's dating, you think you're talking to the person that you're looking at the picture. It ain't them. And even if it is them, it was 20 years ago. They ain't got the same equipment no more. The depreciation has set in. They ain't have the same equipment. We got to have some truth, y'all. Got to have some truth. And so, you know, you get disguised and you go on what they call this, well, we're going to meet so-and-so at Starbucks. And you go in there looking for them. You done walk around 3 or 4 times. You never even saw them. Because it don't look like the picture. And then when you get there, they can see the disappointment on your face. Your countenance shows a man, what in the world is this? What? And you're looking for any reason to get out of there. Let the phone ring. You know, I got an emergency. I'll call you. Now you don't start lying, see? It's amazing, you know. But truth is needed in the time in which we live. Can I get some help in here? Truth is needed, and we have people that don't want to be truthful about certain things. You can't get delivered. I was telling a young man not long ago, how can you get delivered if you won't confess the fact that you got a problem? First thing you do, even when you go to a doctor, they say, what brought you here? Well, you know, you can't say, the bus brought me here. I got off. No, what brought you to this place? What's going on with you? You're hurting here, you're hurting there. No, you got to tell what's going on before they can diagnose what could be the best type of treatment for you. Amen. So the truth is relevant and is needed. Amen. So we got this thing here. As we're looking at that people today, they have became professional liars. They won't tell the truth. And so you have to have the Holy Ghost, you know, so that you can actually know who you're dealing with. I'm telling you, the gifts of God is important in such a time as this. In the work that I'm in today, because you have a lot of people that will come, they'll come and receive prayer and whatnot, and sometimes they won't tell the truth. But I'm so glad that the word of knowledge flowed in my life. It started as I was a young boy. The word of knowledge, you know, has been a part of my life. And so I'm able to pray for people specifically, you know, for what their need is, even if they don't tell me sometime. Even if they won't mention it to me sometime. I was preaching in India a few years ago, and at the end of the service, there was about 1,500 to 2,000 people at the altar. I don't speak Tamil. I don't speak Indian language. But I was able to minister to those people because of the Holy Ghost giving me the word of knowledge. And I had an interpreter, and I would say, well, you know, I need to pray for you for this particular, and they would start crying and start weeping. How in the world do you know that? I said, well, because the Holy Ghost told me. He know you, and he told me. And just like today, some of y'all in here, the Holy Ghost is telling me what y'all need to hear today. That's why I'm sharing what I'm sharing. There are marriages in here that's on the brink. There are marriages in this building right now that's going through some trouble. There are 3 people in here that's thinking about separation right now. I know that by the Spirit. Now, I could call you out, but I'm not going to do that. I could call you out. There's 2 people in here dealing with drugs. They're functional drug addicts right in this building right now. Don't get scared, and please don't leave because you ain't going to get... Lord, I mean, Lord, somebody been talking to that man. Now ain't nobody talk to Jesus. Talk to me. And you have to know that God wants you to be helped. Do otherwise, why would he tell me, a stranger, that this is what you're dealing with? 5 people thinking about moving off your job and God ain't told you to move yet. Right in this building. Because you're used to doing about what you feel like doing, not what the Holy Ghost tells you to do. I told you need some Holy Ghost and fire. And I didn't come here in Phoenix to play. I didn't fly all these miles to come over here and play. I came with an assignment today because God wants you to be properly aligned with his will, because this ministry is on the cutting edge. There's got to be people on fire in here. There's got to be people that love God in here. There's got to be people that's got a Holy Ghost stand in here that refuse to move unless God says to move. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so this is the reason why, with the things that we have been exposed to in these last days. The Bible says that in the last days that many would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We're in the last days where people would rather be religious rather than really saved. I can't get no help up in here. Oh, it's all right if I just kind of go through the motion with thinking that everybody thinks that I'm all right. I found this out even in music. Years ago, you wanted to make sure you knew the music. Nowadays, you know, we were in marching band. I'm a trumpet player, too. So we were in marching band, and if you didn't know your music, they would put you out of the band. Now you can join the band and say, we don't want them to have any anxiety, so we're not going to put them out. And, you know, they ain't adding nothing to the band. They won't learn the music. Hello, somebody. And they come in there mad with an attitude. And then they feel like, you know, why are they just getting on me? Well, just learn the music, man. Ain't nobody getting on you. Just learn the music. Do what you're supposed to do. Ain't nobody criticizing you. Now, you know, you're singing flat. You know, you got some folk that sing in the key of Y and W. Why are you singing? Why? Who told you to do this? You're not a blessing to the service. You're a messing to the service. So you got to put your own self in check. We see it in scripture all the time. The Bible says, let a man examine himself, whether he eat of this bread or drink of this cup. If you judge yourself, you're not judged of anybody else. And why you always got to have an attitude? You're supposed to be portraying the love of God. Why you come to church mad? The Bible says to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto the Lord and bless his name. You ought to have a praise on you. You ought to have a praise on you. You ought to want to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You came with the intended purpose of blessing God. Can I get some help up in here? Tell your neighbor, say, I didn't come here to play today. I came with the intended purpose of blessing God in this place. So I don't have time to be pulled off into trivial things. I've got to focus here. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter days that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, also in 2 Timothy says, know this, that in the last time, you know, last days, perilous times will come, dangerous times, questionable times. That's the times we're living in now. Some of you have heard about what's going on in China right now. It's like, you know, people are dropping dead because of viruses and things such as that. And most people don't worry about stuff as long as it's way over there. Oh, it's way over there. No, it ain't way over there. You got people that got the planes. It may be right here in America already. That's why we got to depend on God for our protection and our covering. But these are the times in which we're living in, difficult times. I mean, times that the enemy is trying to do things to pull you away from. And then it says this, for men shall become lovers of them own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are what? Good. I told you that there are people that are rather for you to do wrong rather than do good. And this is another thing that we got going on, having a form of godliness, but no power. Having a form of godliness. In Acts, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Most people today are not familiar with being baptized in the Holy Ghost. You know, we've got a lot of things that the substance, the knowledge of God, and the knowledge. And knowledge is good, but you need power to do this. The Bible says that this power that you receive will give you power to be witnesses unto me in Samaria, Judea, uttermost parts of the land, in Jerusalem, Samaria, and Judea. And the power to witness. I want to see the hands of those that won at least five souls to the Lord last year. Let me see your hands if you led at least five people to the Lord. Yeah, I see those hands. How many won at least 10 people to the Lord last year? Let me see your hand. Okay. All right. Y'all look around. You see? Okay. I'm going to see the hands of those that won at least one person to the Lord last year. At least one. All right, just one person in the kingdom. One person been added to the kingdom because you did. And that's good. That's good that you won at least one person. But tell your neighbor, you should be willing and ready to share your faith every day. Now, the law of average says this. The law of average says this. It works in soul winning as well as sales. If you got a product, if you show that product at least 12 times, the law of average gives you at least 3 sales. You can close the deal at least 3 sales. Just by sharing it. They ain't got to like it. But if you share it 12 times, you're going to have at least 1 to 3 sales that come out of it. So we know that you have witnessed to at least, some of you have witnessed to at least 12 people last year. Maybe it was just one a month. If you got one soul, but tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, we got to go further. We got to get more serious with this. And then I think about this particular church. Y'all just bear with me for a minute. This is church is called Real Life. The quality goes in before the name goes on. That came from the heart of God. That didn't just come from Pastor Bryant. He got it from the heart of God. Real life. There are people out here that's being pulled into not real life, but a figment of their imagination of what they think really life is. Things and stuff. But in this particular ministry, real life is here. Real living is here. So shame on you if you don't share more of it. Everybody on your job, in your community, where you have your clothes clean, where you buy your gas, ought to know about real life. Because some of them don't have life. They're looking for somebody to step into their life to point them to where real life is. And it's right here in Phoenix, right here in Surprise. Amen. So next year, whenever I come back here, I want to be able to ask how many want at least 12 people to the Lord or 15 people, and there's at least 25 or 30 hands go up. Because he wouldn't have established a ministry called Real Life if he didn't want it to touch the lives of people. This church is on the cutting edge. It's going to grow by leaps and bounds. I sense it in my heart. And it's for the glory of God. This region's going to know about it, but not only this region in this city, the city is going to know about it, and parts of the world is going to know about this church because they got on fire to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to point them to real life. But how does all this happen? It's got to happen, and it will happen because there's a need for the fire of God. When I talk about the fire of God, I've got to talk about this because the scripture denotes the fact that there will come a time that there will be a release in the kingdom, in the church of God, where God would give us the Holy Ghost and fire. The Holy Ghost is called by many different names in scripture. Some of us know him as the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. But he's given us this equipping so that we can be effective in the kingdom of God. You won't be able to do it apart from that. You can't keep yourself. You're not able to keep yourself in such a time in which we live in. The temptations and distractions all about you. And without the Holy Ghost, the supernatural empowerment of the Holy Ghost, you will not be able to sustain in such a world as this. You just won't just be able to get it off of just new birth. I never forget this one thing. I think it was Nathaniel that was being shared, which said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? So that's a different experience. Well, I got saved, but there's a baptism in the Holy Ghost that you can receive. The Holy Ghost and fire. You have to have the fire of God because that keeps, you know, the zeal of God burning in your life. And it keeps you a steady plunge of going forth in God. The Holy Ghost provides that for you. Amen? But the fire is necessary because the fire is the life of it all. Can I get some help in here? When you got the life of the Holy Ghost, and most of y'all know about, you know, what heat can do. You out here in Phoenix, man, you get 115 degrees out here. I know you know something about some heat, what heat can do. Heat causes behavior to change. It causes habits to change. When I was out here last year, I was telling Nick, I said, Nick, you know, I said, this reminds me of Dubai. I've been to Dubai about 9 times, and every time I've gone there, it's got hotter and hotter and hotter. The first time I went, it was 135 degrees during the day. And y'all know what I did? I went to God. I said, God, I want to make sure that everything is right with you because I don't want to have no chance of going to hell if hell anything like this. So you know what heat can do. It'll cause you to change the way that you do things. It was so hot there, you can cook an egg right on the ground, you know. And I called myself, I'm going to go out because, you know, I'm a golfer. So I went out to the golf course. I'm going to play some golf, right? I said, I just got to adjust because I walked 9 holes in Carolina, be 105. Ain't no big deal. I'm going to do this. I come stepping out there, man, and like the more I walked, the hotter I got. Felt like I was on fire. I turned around. I was trying to adjust, walk down the block by the hotel. I come back running because I panicked. One of the business owners came up beside me and said, yes, sir. He could tell I was American. He said, I have a good deal. I have a shop over here, and I have a good deal. Come over to my shop. I'm running now. He running up beside me. I said, man, I don't care about no deal. I said, man, forget your deal. Look, whatever you got, bring it in this lobby where I'm going, because I ain't coming back out here no more. But the heat causes you to change. It causes you, you know, to behave a different way. And so it is in the kingdom, y'all. Listen to me today. When you have the fire of God on your life, it causes you to change. And not only does it do something for you, but it does something for the people around you. Notice what it says in the Gospel of Matthew. It says that this particular fire is effective in this particular way. It says that when you are baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, it gives this ability to happen to you. Verse number 12 of Matthew's Gospel, it says, say, whose fan is in his hand? The fan is there so that when the fire is ignited, he's able to fan it and it increases even the more. That's what God does. That's what the praise and the worship does. That's what's in prayer. That's what it does for you, saints. It causes you to be more on fire because he's got the fan and God just fanning you. He's fanning you. And what happened? What's happening when the fanning takes place? It burns up all the stuff that ain't right. Anybody got some stuff that you know that you know what's wrong with you before anybody else know what's wrong with you? Anybody know you got some stuff that it takes a fire to burn it up? Fire will remove some stuff. I remember some years ago when we were growing up, you know, back in the 70s, you know, the leather came out. It was very popular to have leather. And I never forget this right here that, you know, because leather was kind of pricey and expensive, everybody didn't have the real stuff. They had what was called pleather, which is plastic leather. And the thing about pleather was it looks like leather, feels like leather, but when you put the fire to it, you find out that it's not leather. At that time, we were heating in one of our rooms, we were heating with one of those cast iron heaters. And I never forget backing up to the heater, warming myself up. It was in the wintertime. And somebody said, Mal, you better move. The coat was literally melting on my back. It was breaking down. And that's what happens when the fire of God is met with stuff that is not like him. See, carnality can't last in such a time as this. If you're carnal, it can't stand in such a time as this because the fire of God was melted all away. If you got issues that's going on in your life, the fire of God will melt all those things away. It'll deal with your attitude, the way that you do things. It'll deal with how you carry yourself. It'll deal with whether you got anger issues and you got, you know, attitude issues. The fire of God will melt that all away. So that's why we need the Holy Ghost and fire. Tell your neighbor, say, we need the Holy Ghost and fire. Because the fire will cleanse and purify. It will sanctify you and consecrate you. And I just tell you this right here. You know, when the fire of God shows up, it just takes you to a new place in him. Amen. So you got to protect the fire that's on your life. Tell your neighbor, say, you got to protect the fire that's on your life. Some of you in here, you are so anointed. God has blessed your life, but the enemy has been trying to antagonize you to get to you to make sure that you won't flow forth in the fire of God and flow forth under the anointing of God. Because if he knows if he's successful with doing that, somebody's not going to be helped. Huh? Somebody's not going to be helped. So you have to protect the fire in your life. I remember reading a story about a man in the early years before electricity and all these things were discovered and fire was so important. In a village, they would keep what is called the fire burning in the European areas and whatnot where it would get really, really cold. And there was always one person responsible. The fire had to continually burn because if they would allow the fire to go out, it would cause problems in the whole village. And they would do it by shifts. They would do it by shifts. Some of you right now, every one of you in here that's saved and got the Holy Ghost, you got fire on your life. And because you got fire on your life, it will help somebody fire somebody else's life. And because you got this fire on your life, it's so important that you stay on fire for God. It's important that you keep your prayer life. It's important that you continue with the fast. Like the brother said, some of y'all that dropped off in the 21-day fast, get back on it. Get back on it. Stay in there, because if you're moving forth in this year, it's going to be important that you stay on fire for God. Somebody's going to need the fire that's on your life. They're dealing with issues that they need the fire of God on your life. And so they need you to be on fire. Well, in the village, if that man or whoever was on staff to keep the fire or to keep the flame, if he would allow the fire to go out, then it would cost the life of the villagers. It would cost the life not only of the villagers, but if he allowed it to go out, it would cost him his life. They would literally put him to death because there was no more fire there. And when I thought about that, the Holy Ghost quickened me and said, you know, that's the same thing that happened with us as believers. The moment that you let the fire of God go out of your life, it's going to cause death in your life. The moment of God that you cease to be on fire for God, then you will start allowing other things to creep in into your life. The Bible says that when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. Anything that's connected to sin is in a place that is about to move into death. So you cannot afford, touch your neighbor and say, you cannot afford not to be on fire in such a time as this. Because the fire that's in your life, there's a God that you serve that's fanning the fire in your life to make certain that it's intensified. That people that are having issues and having problems in their lives, did you not know that our world today, we're living in a world today where there's so many people who are overwhelmed with the vices of the world. Man, there are people that's messed up with drugs and alcohol and dressed up with all kinds of things that's pulling at them to rob them of their life. Pills to go up, pills to come down. And we're going to have to be on fire to deal with people like that. Some of us right now, you know, we even say you look at somebody and see all the work that's involved in dealing with them. And the first thing that you will say, that's not my ministry. What do you mean that's not your ministry? Child, please, I ain't all that about that negativity stuff. Man, these people trying to get free. What are you talking about negativity stuff? The folk want to get free. And if you don't have the power of the Holy Ghost, you're not going to have the patience that you need to hang in there with people. I had a friend of mine, he came home and he was telling his mama, you know, he wasn't doing like he spoke to, and he's about to get put out of college. You know, it's back in college. Said, you know, and my mama's kind of slow about paying the tuition. He goes home and said, you know, mama, you know, you got to be patient with me because God ain't through with me yet. Mama looked back at him and said, God may not be through, but I am. And that's the way people are today. They're not patient with people. I mean, they hang in there until the person is able to get a grip in life and go on in things. They're struggling with issues. But you got the Holy Ghost and you just don't have no patience. But somebody was patient with you. Somebody prayed you through. Somebody said, look, I'm going to hang in there with you until you get the victory over this thing. Man, they won't leave you. If you're on the altar, they'll lay down on the altar with you. They'll walk with you. Until you get a grip in God. And that's what we got to have. Because everybody's coming in here in the church nowadays. You know, I tell people this all the time. If you catch a fish and it's already clean, it's not yours. We want people already got it together. Reggie, we want them already to have it together. Why you ain't got this together? I mean, I don't understand why. I mean, why don't you have this together? Man, folk are dealing with stuff. They ain't got it together. That's why they got you, so they can help get it together. You got to be patient. You know, they'll get there, but you got to have some time. You got to have some patience. And there are people that's coming in, and they're coming in, they may not know any scripture. That's why you need to know some. Psalms 119 said, that word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Knowing the word keeps you away from sin. But nowadays, I find a lot of folks sitting in the pews, they don't know much word now. All they got is Bible apps. They got the apps, but ain't no word in them. Can't get no help in it. No, get the app. Then you got it all. You ain't got it all. Just go, you can Google it. You don't have it. You got it off Google. Google got it. You don't have it. You got to spend time in the Word. You got to be patient in the Word. You know, every now and then, now folk ain't satisfied with just getting down and learning the word. You know, if you got Sunday school or you got, you know, intro level Bible class or Bible 101 or whatnot, they ain't interested in that. But they want to be a bishop. Ain't never even taught Sunday school, but now they're going to bishop somebody. Who are you going to bishop? Who are you going to bishop? You don't have the fundamentals of what the word of God is. And don't know anything about Old or New Testament. Well, it's in there somewhere. No. You need the word of God. It'll keep you sharp. The Bible says that it's able to make you wise. The scripture is able to make you wise, give you wisdom. Something wrong with you. Every new thing come through town, you jump on board and it pulls you out of sync. Why they always got to be getting over on you? Because you won't read. Those who read, lead. What did he tell Joshua? Joshua told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. For then you can observe to do all that is written therein. When you meditate in it, it's easy to imitate if you meditate in it. You'll become the word of God. Meditation is important. He said, but then I'll make your way prosperous and you can have good success. You want to be prosperous, but you want to have good success. I know a billionaire. I only know one. Some of y'all might know more than one. I just know one. He sponsored us 1 year. We was in Czech Republic for 2 months ministering the gospel. He had great success financially. He had 85,000 people on his staff that worked for him. But he didn't have good success. He stood in our meeting and he began to weep. Nick, he began to weep. He began to weep because the Spirit of God was just working on his heart, just dealing with his heart. And I never get something that happened there. You know, I have a person that traveled with us to do our concession. I had like 13 CDs, so I have like a concession table and stuff. And that night I told her, I said, I want you to sell the CDs for 30 crowns, which is about $15. She sold them for 3 crowns, which is about $1, $2. Oh, she sold out. I said, Pastor, I sold out. I sold out. Praise the Lord. I said, well, good. I said, well, good. But I noticed something. My brother. Look, she had a bag full of change. I said, what are you doing with all that change? Because normally, you know, the currency would be, I think with crowns, they would like dollars, like our dollars. And she had a bag full of change. And she had sold it for 3 crowns. And I said, no, that was the wrong price. It would have been 30 crowns. And she thought I was going to get upset about it. I didn't get upset about it. I said, look, what we'll do is we'll sow this as a seed. Because the people obviously needed it. They wanted it. They ain't going to cry about that. Yeah, they got them. Thank God. Go on with them. Thank God. We ain't going to worry about that. And she was just weeping. I'll pay you back. I said, no, you ain't got to pay me nothing. Just make sure tomorrow night, because we we were there 2 weeks now. I said, but make sure tomorrow night that is 30 crowns. That next night, this gentleman who sponsored us came in into the meeting. I was sharing the gospel. Tell him I said hello. I was sharing the gospel. Singing and preaching. And at the service, he came up to me and shook my hand. When he shook my hand, I looked at it, $5,000 in my hand. So what we sold, turned around, came right back. I want to say this to some of y'all, stop worrying about stuff. And as Hebrews 4 says, start resting in the Lord. Stop stressing about these trivial things because it's only a plot to get you off of the real deal. Enemy don't want you praying. Don't want you trusting God. So we have you worrying about stuff that's not right. Some of y'all just worrying about these children. Some of y'all, there's 4 ladies in here worried about grandchildren. Some mamas in here and dads worried about some children that seem like they ain't getting it together. Rest in the Lord about it. Don't keep stressing about it. Come on in, enjoy the Lord about it. They be texting you at church. They know you at church, but they'll call you anyway. They'll call you. What time are you going to get out? If you came, you know what time I would get out.
let them stress you out. Start resting in God about it. And after that night, you know, I told the sister, don't even worry about stuff like that. I said, always just rest in God about things. Don't stress about it. And then I turned around and said, Lord, send him back tomorrow night. Tell God know how to fix you up. He knows how to deal with you according to you. Stop stressing about it. I want every married couple to stand up in here. If you're married, don't you stand up with your wife. Yeah, stand up with your wife. Stand up with your wife. Stand up with your husband. And if you married in here and your husband or your wife is not here, when you get home, I want you to tell them this. Now let's turn to your mate. Get him by the hand, just turn to him. And I want you to say this, even if you got to say it in faith. I'm so glad I married you. And I want you to know this. Come on, just say, I want you to know this. That things are going to get better from this point on. You're my mate. You're my life partner. I love you. And our marriage is a witness unto the kingdom of God. We're the only institution that God compared with Christ in the church. You have a special place in my heart. And we have a journey to complete. Our love is a witness unto the world of what life can be like. We will not separate. We will not break up. With the help of the Lord, we will continue to glorify his name. I want to love you, and I want you to love me even the more. We're going to bless our children and our children's children. That money should not be a problem. Relationship is not going to be a problem from this point on. We've got so much to look forward to. I'm not giving up on you, and I don't want you to give up on me. Now I want to give God a praise for you. Pardon me. Yeah. Couples, keep standing. I want to charge you all today. Because the enemy fights marriage. And some of you have gone through some difficult times. But God will use the difficult times to bring out a more eternal weight of glory. He uses the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because there's no waste in the kingdom. He won't throw it out, throw anything away. If it was tough for you, he'll use that. If it was rough for you, he'll use that. The enemy won't ever have victory if you all are standing together. And for some of you that's married to someone that's maybe not there spiritually yet, the Bible says that the sanctified wife sanctifies the unsanctified husband. And so does the sanctified husband sanctify the unsanctified wife. So you've got to ask for grace. And I'm talking to several people in here now. Because they may not have the passion to go after God like you have. Sometimes they'll watch you just go off to church and they'll stay right there at the house. But I want you to know this. That the capacity for them to change lies within you. Because every change that he changes in you, it causes a change reaction in them. Oh, they know how to argue, they know how to fuss, they know how to fight, but some people can't respond to love. They just break down and go to crying with love. Sometimes you got to love the hell out of people. They have a lot of mess with them. And it's easy to let go and just quit. Say, I just quit. Forget it. It's easy to do that. But you'll pay the price later. Especially for those of you that have children. Because everything you cease to get the victory over, you leave it for your children to get the victory over. I tell men this all the time. Whatever you're struggling with, it'll be more struggle for your son. Ladies,
I tell ladies this. My wife, she'll let you know this, that whatever you're dealing with, you leave it for your daughters to do. It's not fair for you to marry someone, and everybody nowadays want to jump up and get married, but they don't have the tools for marriage. Anybody can have a wedding, but it takes maturity to have a marriage. Marriage is one day, a wedding one day, marriage for a lifetime. You can dress up in your costumes and dress up in your dress and all that, but then after the wedding, the marriage. And you got to have some substance to continue with that. I wasn't planning on going, you know, through all this, but I feel the need to do this right now. Because I know God wants to strengthen some relationships here. Don't let the enemy rob you of your future. You're trying to make a decision now to keep you from getting to the future. See, God sees you in your future, and it's much better than where you are right now. If you'll hang in there. Keep on loving each other. Be understanding. Now, so God, I ain't got it. Well, it's okay. It's okay that you don't have it, but he does, and he wants to give it to you. You know what grace really is? We talk about, I got a friend of mine did a song called God's Grace, went all over the country, named Luther Barnes. And it's a grace issue because, see, grace is unmerited favor extended to those that is undeserving. He gives you the supernatural empowerment to move past where you are, and you become supernaturally catapulted into another place. I can do this with the grace of God on my life, but otherwise I don't have no, I can't do it. I can't take this anymore. I'm through with this. I'm out of here. That's what your flesh will say. But grace steps up and has you bold and saying, I'll stand. Having therefore done all I do to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. It'll cause you to stand. That's what grace will do for you. And for those of you that's single, because there's many of you that's single here that has the gift of marriage on you. And there's three people that's almost engaged to be married here. A couple of you need to wait a little while longer before you go to setting dates. Because it's amazing to me how people will espouse to marry someone and just act like, okay, well, I don't know about your past. No, you didn't know about the past. Because your past will determine whether or not you're going to have a future. And why are you with your saved self? You're going to run outside the church and marry somebody that's not even saved? Or else you marry somebody that's been hanging around the church that have no spiritual pedigree? Now, we're meeting, and I'm 30. I'm 35. And we done got out of school and whatnot. And what you been doing the last 15, 20 years? Well, nothing. Where you go to church? I go to church, oh, so-and-so-and-so. You working there? Well, not really. I just go, we have a good time. So you mean tell me you've been sitting idle in the church for 15 years? Nobody can say that you had nothing spiritual about you? You don't qualify to marry me. I'm working for God. What's going to happen when we marry? I'm going to go off to church and you sit at the house and watch the game? Or you sit at the house and watch Bold and Beautiful as the world turned? What's the thing they're watching now? Green Leaf and what's other stuff? You know, there's a lot of trash TV out there. You call it good, but it's a lot of trash TV. What's it? The Us is in the Dems or what is it? I don't know what it is. The Us in the Dems or what? The haves and have-nots? Well, I'm getting something out of this. I'm watching the haves and have-nots. Yeah, we have not, all right. We have not peace in our own. Now, before you say I do, check it out. Make sure that they have a track record in the kingdom. Okay, these last 15 years, what have you been doing? How's things financially? Well, everything, you know, pretty good. What's your credit score? Oh, you ain't going to ask that? You married somebody with bad credit, and now you got bad credit. I can't get no help up in here. You need to know. What is it? Okay, well, do you tithe? No, not really. Okay, you ain't got no tithe. So now you a thief. If they won't pay God, they ain't going to pay nobody else. I can't get no help up in here. You need to know. Before you say I do. Well, why you don't want to do this? No, I don't.
I don't. I'm going to say I don't, not I do. I'm going to say I don't. No, I don't want to be broke. I don't want to be hooked up to you with your bad credit. I don't want to be in a spiritual dilemma with you, praying and crying. I don't want to be hooked up to poverty, spiritual poverty. I don't. No, I don't. I'm not going to say I do. I'm going to say I don't. Because I love God and I want to serve him with my life. And if it means being without you, I know we heard the other song. Love you wrong. No, it is wrong loving you. It's wrong. It's wrong. Being right means being without. No, I'd rather be without you. Now, we hear some stuff that sound good, but that stuff ain't good when you start living it out. So I say I do to the Lord. God, yes to your will and yes to your way. Those of you that's married in here say, look, I want to be what God wants me to be so I can be the mate that I need to be for you. Mary and I, we married as teenagers. We've been married, 39 years? We married as teenagers. Yeah. I prayed and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I don't know what husband, kind of husband this woman needs. But Lord, you have to help me to be the husband that she needs. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, it ain't been a perfect situation, because I never forget, we were 3 years into marriage. And you know, we were coming to church, man, people say, oh Lord, y'all just so beautiful together. And I'd be saying, Lord have mercy. Boy, I wish this girl would go away from him. And finally I told the Lord one day, I said, Lord, I said, now, I know what you got for me to do. Because I love you, Lord, and I know what you got me to do. And I know that you got me to do ministry around the world one day. I said, but I ain't going to be able to do it with that girl. I'm going to have to carry her back home. I said, I'm going to have to carry her back home. There ain't no way in the world I can do it with her. Then when I told Lord, I said, Lord, I was serious about it. I said, God, I can't do it with her. So I went to church that Sunday morning, man. You know, when you finally make up your mind you're going to do something, now you get free. Thank you, Jesus. Oh Lord, I'm free, Jesus. You know, I done made my mind up. I did. I'm through. Went to church. Got out of service, man. I'm so happy. Cause I'm getting to go home. When I picked her up, she had 3 bags of clothes. I said, I'm gonna get them 3 bags and take her back to her mama where I got her from. Get what I said? Holy Ghost touched Mother Katie Thomas, my spiritual mom. My spiritual father, Chief Apostle Paul A. Thomas, he went home to be with the Lord about 3 years ago. I went in 35 years before, I ain't been no church hopper. Some of y'all don't be one either. Get planted. Psalms 92:13 says, those that be planted in the house of God shall flourish in the courts of our Lord. A running tree can't bring forth no fruit, but one planted can. Can't get no help. Just want to throw that in there for side journey, okay? But Mother Thomas, she said, Brother Mal, I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am. I'm happy, right? She said, you're getting ready to do something. And God ain't in it. Just like that. I said, whoa. Whoa. Man. I broke. I began to weep before the presence of God. She says, yes, son, you made up your mind to do it. But God ain't in it. Go back to him. Get the will of God for your life. Go back to him. It's not the will of God for you to do this. And I left it that day. It was a long drive home. Man, I tell you, it's like it took me a long time to get home. I kept driving. It's like I'm never going to get there. At that time, of course, Mary and I, we had many children. We were married 3.5 years, almost 4 years, but we had our first child, Charmaine. And it was in that third year. I went back and I said, Lord, I said, you got to help me with this. Because obviously I don't have all the tools to make this thing work like it. I need it to work. I mean, I don't know all that she needs, but you do. That's your daughter. It's not mine. She's not my daughter. I want my life to be a witness. I don't want to quit on this. But I said, well, you know, and I had already reasoned it out. You know what I told you about the thing springing forth? God will do some things springing forth. See, I had already reasoned. Well, I ain't got no children. Ain't nobody going to be hurt by this. We ain't got no children yet. So yeah, I done reasoned. I said, man, I'm out of this. Bless the Lord. Praise God. See, you wouldn't want to be here, you know. But God changed things for me that day. I wouldn't qualify to stand up in front of you today, you ambassadors, you men and women of God, these marriages. I wouldn't qualify to speak into your marriage today if God hadn't dealt with me as such. That's why I'm telling you, you can make it. I know the court gives you a way out, irreconcilable differences and all this kind of stuff. They use these verbiage and play upon words. But the bottom line is it either the will of God or not the will of God? That's 36 years ago. Two children and five grandchildren later. And ministry in five different continents around the world. 13 records and 30 records produced on other artists. But all that was wrapped up in that defining moment. If I had quit then, some of those things might not have been today. I wouldn't be here in Phoenix today because I wouldn't qualify to be here today. So I want you to understand that this is a defining moment for some of you in here. I won't call you out because every marriage that looked perfect is not perfect. I'm trying to feel your way through it. You're trying to do these things. But the strength of any community is strong marriages. The strength of any church is strong marriages. So hold fast to what you have. Be the examples that God's called you to be. And those of you that are single that's got the gift of marriage in here, live a clean life. I know that everything that we look at, they break the law of God. Folk living together now. Back in our day, we call it shacking up. Y'all still call it shacking up too? Yeah. You want to get all the benefits that a married person has without being married. If you got to have license to drive a car, you got to have license to be married. You got to have license to live with each other. You can't just, I know, but you know, the Lord deal with our heart and we closer to him than we've been before. See, that's a carnal approach to things. That's why we got to have the fire of God, because all of these little things, we get mixed up and we'll try to justify it that it's okay. Well, he helped me with my bills, and I helped him with his bills. And then we just come together and we're living in the park or, you know, rent high nowadays. And well, go back home to mom and daddy did it with all that out. But for God's sake, don't forfeit your life, your spiritual life, by being a lawbreaker. Don't do that. You won't have no anointing on your life living like that. You won't. You can't be used by the Lord that he won't be used by you. And another thing, too, some of you that's got children, you decide you want to live with somebody. How would you like somebody to live with your daughter or your son, not married to them? Because what you sow is what you're going to reap. Why would you disrespect somebody else's daughter and you don't want your own daughter disrespected? God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But remember this. When you sow out of a sack. But when you reap, you got to have a wagon to reap. So it's going to come back far greater in your reaping than it does in the bag when sowing. And it's reaping season. Nowadays, it's like that. Have you ever noticed used to you could do something folk get away with a long time? You can do it now, and by that evening, you done got it back. And that's good, bad, and ugly. Amen? So you make a choice. Grab your mate by the hand. I want you to sit down with him for a minute. My time is just about up. I got a few more minutes here I want to share with you. I did have a couple songs I want to sing to you if y'all don't mind. But the fire of God is needed in the time that we live in. It's needed so much. So live that life so God can use you. Live that life so God can use you. I want all the intercessors to stand up. If you're an intercessor, stand up. I'm not just talking about this person, just pray. I'm talking about you intercede for people. I want you to stand up. Yeah, all the intercessors, stand up. You know I'm talking to you. If I say intercessors, you know you won. You just stand right up, stand right up. Today I'm charging you intercessors today. That in 2020, keep your focus. Don't let the enemy have you distracted over trivial things. The object is to make certain that you be so overwhelmed with the trivial that you don't key in on what God has for you to pray about, these prayer needs that you have. Some of you don't pay any attention to no clock, because there's sometimes the Lord will have you on call praying. It'd be 2-3 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't really matter. Sometimes he have you praying for people. He just give you a name to pray for. And then sometimes there's prayer needs that's right in your midst. I wanna thank you all, intercessors, every one of you, because many of you are holding back the hand of the enemy. Remember this one thing. You remember when Jesus looked at Peter? He said, Peter, the devil desired to have you and to sift you as wheat. But I prayed. Prayer is the only thing that hinders the flow of evil. He can't have his way if there's somebody that'll pray. So keep your focus in 2020. Keep your focus. It's the will of God that you keep your focus. Be on call. Be ready. 1 Peter says to be ready to answer every man concerning the hope that's within you. You got to be ready in such a time as this. Be ready. Be on call for what God has for you. Y'all give him a praise for these intercessors. Give him a praise.